Begin the current daf, begin five lines down from the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was discussing certain types of dangerous activities, and specifically what we had mentioned on the top of this Amud regarding hakaza, bloodletting, what would be a dangerous type of activity to be doing at the time of bloodletting. As the Gemara says, turn about and learn the brayis hamak is dam. If someone lets blood, which was a practice of medicinal utility in the times of the Talmud, so lo yichel chagvash, you should not eat chagvash, these foods which are chalav, gvina, betzala, meshachalayim. As the Gemara explains, lo chalav, not milk, v'lo gvina, not cheese, v'lo betzalam, not onions, v'lo shachalayim, not cress, because it's going to deteriorate his condition because bloodletting weakens a person. Now, im ochel, if the person let blood and did eat these things, Abaya says, Nasi revias of the chal, you should bring a revias of a lug of vinegar, or revias of the chamra and a revias of wine, then arvinu bahadi hadod, even nishtin, you should mix them together and drink it. Then, b'chimifni, then when the one who eats these things after he let blood and is coming to relieve himself outside of the city, leimifni el lemizracha shalir, should only relieve himself to the east of the city, because the eastern wind is not so strong as the Mishnah explains in Baba Basa of Chafayim and Aleph. And the reason is, Mishum de kosher recha, because the odor from these things, when such a person eats these things, are harmful and the wind's going to bring into the city. So rather, let him relieve himself on the eastern part where the wind is not going to bring into the city. Continuing on the halachas, the previous stuff regarding different types of remedies and those which are permitted to be done on Shabbos and which are not permitted to be done by a non-Jew. So Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says, Malan avankali b'Shabbos. One could lift up the avankali on Shabbos. Says Gemara, my avankali. So Amar Rabbi says, it's tumcha de liba, which either means the muscles which are beneath the heart, or means the lobe which is opposite the heart, which sometimes it bends inward and then it blocks the breathing. Either one, whatever the interpretation it is, one could lift it up to allow the person's breathing to get better. Which Gemara says, mayasu. So what's the remedy for this condition? How does one lift it up? Maisi kamayna karvayas. So a person brings a spoonful of cumin, veninya and of mint, the agdono and this type of bitter herb, the tzisri and savory, the avdasa and the azar, the hyssop grass. Now, laliba, if it's for the condition of the heart, like we mentioned before, either because of this lobe or the muscle which is beneath the heart, that's why he's drinking so this potion, so he should drink it bechamer with wine. And in Manik to recall this, the Pasuk in Tilma says, that wine rejoices the heart of man, meaning for the condition of the heart, then it's good with wine. Now, if it's larucha, if he's taking this potion for asthma, which is a difficulty because of his breathing, then he should drink it b'mai with water. And the mnemonic for that is the Pasuk in Bereishis says, "Baruch Elokim," and the Spirit of God, "Merachefes apanei ha'mayim," was hovering over the surface of the water. But you see that the ruach, the spirit, which is the breathing, is with water. Now, lechuda, if it's for a woman who has an illness during childbirth, which then she suddenly gets cold on the birthing stool, she should drink this potion b'shuchar with beer. And the manik for that is the pasuk in Bereishis v'chad al shichma, that she had her jug on her shoulder, which the word shichma is similar to the word shichra with two letters. So you would see that the beer is for someone that, of a female of shichma, and that would be a reminder that for kuda, which is this female illness, should be with beer. Now Ravacha bered the Rav shachik luhu lekula b'hadar, that he would grind all the ingredients we mentioned before together. Then he would take from it a full fingerful of this, meaning a full handful of this ingredient. And then he would drink it with whatever it was. If it's for the heart condition, it would be with wine. For ruach, it would be with water. But he would grind them all together, take a full handful, and then drink it. Now, Ravashi shachak kalchad v'chaluchudeh, he would grind each one separately. And then he would take what fits between the pinky and the thumb, which means a pinch of that, then he would take that and then drink it. Now Amra Papa, he says, Ano avdi l'chalhani, he says, I did all these different versions, v'lo yistoy, and they did not heal me. Ado amali ahutai, until this Arab merchant told me that Aisi kuzachadita, bring a new small jug, umal yimaya, fill it with water, urameybe tarvada de duvshen, and throw in it a spoonful of honey, the toli lebe kechavi that was left out beneath, meaning outside at night, meaning beneath the stars in the courtyard of the house, Ulamachar ishte, and the next day drink it. And he says, Abdi hachi v'tasayin, I did this and I was healed. Continue on this theme, turn around learning the Braisa with remedies. Shisha devar mirapin esachel machali. There are six things that heal an ill person from his illness. For the fasten fu, and its healing is a true healing. Ve'elahina, what are these six beneficial ingredients? They're kruv, there's cabbage, betrudin, and beets, umeisis and yevesha, and dried pennyroyal, which then the person soaks in water and drinks that. The caves in the maw, one of the stomachs of the animal, the heres and the womb of the animal, the yeseres hakavod and the diaphragm. The yeshem, some say, afdagim ketanim, also small fish, is very beneficial. But not only that, elishadagim ketanim mafrin namarim kogufish aladim. Not only does it heal, but it also helps a person's body regenerate, become fruitful, and multiply. Now, asar dvar machzir nesachil choy, there are 10 things that bring the illness back. V'chol yekosh, and it's a harsh illness. Elohim, these are things which are very heavy for the body. Ha'echol basar shar shum, if someone eats fatty meat of an ox, basar tzli, roasted meat, basar tziparim, the meat of fowl, of poultry, ubeitz tzluya, and a roasted egg, v'shachalayim, and cress, v'teglachas, and cutting of the hair, u'merchatz, and bathing in a bathhouse, u'gvina, and cheese, recovered, and liver. V'yeshem, some say afa goizim, also nuts. V'yeshem, afkishum, some say also cucumbers. Now, Tana Baby Shmuel, it says, Lamana Kishman Kishuan, why is it called cucumbers? Meaning with the word Kishuan. Memneshin Kashan Lachal Gufish Aladin Kicharav is because they're harsh, the word Kasha, to the body like swords. That's why they're called Kishuan, which the Gemara elsewhere says those are large cucumbers. Now, the Mishnah said, Ve'emis Tapim Hem Chamachim, going back to the Allah of our Mishnah, which was discussing the relationships between Jews and non-Jews, specifically idol worshippers, that one is not allowed to take a haircut from the non-Jewish barber. So Tarmol in the Braisa that elaborates on this halacha, Yisrael ha-mestapim ma'iv kechavim, a Jew who takes a haircut by a non-Jew, so roya b'mara, he has to look into the mirror to see, to inspect, if he's getting a good styled haircut. Now, the purpose of this, as we're going to see later on, is because the non-Jew is going to think, wait a second, why is he so into how the hair looks? Must be he's a very distinguished person, he's going to be afraid to kill him. Now, ma'iv kechavim ha-mestapim Yisrael, the other way, a non-Jew is taking a haircut by a Jew, once the Jew gets up to the ponytail of the non-Jew, which he keeps long, which he doesn't cut, he keeps it so that he could take it off annually for his idol, so the Jew has to remove his hand from cutting the hair before he gets even near the ponytail, as we'll see later on, at least a distance of 3 finger breaths in every direction, so that because or else he's going to be perfecting the ponytail. He's going to be making it by getting right up to there. So he can't get it right up to there. Once he gets up to it, so Shemet this yad, he has to remove his hand. Meaning even by a distance before that. Now the Gemara explains, the Braisa said, Amamar, Yisrael amestabim ha'ibu kachavim, a Jew is taking a haircut by a non-Jew, Roya b'mara. So he looks in the mirror. So the Gemara says, "Hey Chedem, what's the case talking about? Ibrish Rasram, if it's in the public domain, so lomali mara. Why do you need a mirror? As we said in the Mishnah, he's not going to do anything harmful because he's out in the public. Vibrish Rasayachem, if it's in the private domain, so ki roi mahava. What does it help if he's looking in the mirror? He still could take a razor and just cut the Jew's neck off. Says the Gemara, no, lo ilim b'shas yachem. We're talking about in the private domain. But v'kivin dekamara. But since there's a mirror, meschazi kadem chashav. He looks like a distinguished person. He wants to make sure. He probably is a someone that's well connected. He's going to be afraid to do anything. And that's why a mirror is going to help. Now the Gemara brings a story related to the salacha. Rav Chana bar Biznav and mestabim ayvik kachavim b'shvili d'narda. He was taking a haircut by a non-Jew in the alleyways of Neharda, which was out of the city. Now, Amalei, Chana, Chana. So the non-Jewish barber said to Rav Chana, 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 Yo'i koyach lezuga. Your neck is enticing for my razor to cut it off. Meaning to say that the idol worshiper had this desire to just kill him. So Amaris, Rav Chana said, Tesile, it's coming to me. Because I violated the opinion of Rav Meir, because Rav Meir in our Mishnah holds that it's always forbidden, even the Rosh Hashanah. So therefore he says, it's coming to me that I violated his opinion. And therefore, I'm deserving of something dangerous happening to me. That has to come about the Rabbanon. And what, he didn't violate the opinion of the Rabbanon? Even the Rabbanon, when the Rabbanon say that it's permitted to take a haircut by a non-Jewish barber in contrast to a mayor, that's only B'shus HaRab. It's only in the public domain. B'shus HaYachim Yomer, in the private domain, did he say it? Here, it's not in the main city. Here, it's off from the city, these alleyways of Narda. So he was violating every opinion. Says the Gemara, no, but whosoever Rav Chana held that Shvili de Narda, the alleyways of Narda, where people are constantly coming and going, keep the Shechichi Ram, since there's many people that are found, Kirshas Ram has the same qualification as in the public domain, and therefore, according to Rabban, that's permitted. It's only Reb Meir that would hold that it's still forbidden, and therefore he says, because I violated the opinion of Reb Meir, that's why it's coming to me that something dangerous might happen. Now the Brisa continued and said, "Va'ivit kechav mamistapim miYisrael, non-Jew who takes irkut by a Jew, kivin shegila b'lerasser. Once the Jewish barber reaches to the ponytail, that area of the ponytail of the non-Jew, shem etzel they has to remove his hand." Says Gemara, "B'kama, and how much before does he have to remove his hand? Of course, he's not cutting the pony because he keeps the pony for the avodah." Saying you can't even get to the area beforehand because then you're like perfecting the pony. How much of a distance? So Amar Malkia, Amar Avad Abraham, he says, Shleshetz boiz l'chol ruach v'rach. Malkia says, has to be a distance of 3 finger breadths in all directions, so that you didn't perfect the pony which is being used for Avodah Zarah. Now, Amar Avchanina Berid Raviki says that Shvud, the halacha of the spit, which is mentioned in Masechtas Bei, regarding that it was roasted with the meat on Yom Tiv, regarding its mukzah status, Shvachis, regarding the halacha of maidservants, which is mentioned in Masechtas Ksubis, which is related to that even if one's wife brings in 100 maidservants, she still has to do some work, because batola maybe they shimum and shigoyin. And Vagumas, the third halacha relating to pores, which is mentioned in Masechtas Nida, even though that there's no hair follicles, but there are pores of the follicles regarding the girl, it's a sign that there's adulthood over here. These three teachings were taught by Rav Malkiyoy. He said them in the name of Adabrava. In contrast, the following three halachas, Beloiris, the halacha of the ponytail, which we're mentioning over here, Ephemikla, the halacha of ashes, which mentioned in Masechtas Makkos in the last parak, that a person should not put ashes on his wound because it looks like a tattoo, because Ephemikla are ashes from an oven which was burnt very much and very black, and if you put it on the wound, it's going to look like it was engraved like a tattoo. And Vigvina, and the third halacha of cheese, which is mentioned over here in our parak of Lamahayim at Beis, where it was Ramalkia said in the name of Adabrahava, the reason why the cheese of the non-Jews is forbidden is because they coat it with lard fat. Those three halachas are of Malkia. So though the names are similar of Malkia or Malkia, they're two different individuals. And that's what Rav Chanin is coming to explain, that Shvud, Shvachis, and Gumis is Rav Malkia, Bloiris, Eva, Mikla, and Gevina is Rav Malkia. On that, Rav Papa disagrees. He says, Masnitin u Masnita, regarding those teachings which were explaining a Mishnah or a Braisa, they are Rav Malkia. Shmaitza, those which are individual Amaroic statements, not going to explain a Mishnah or a Braisa, those are Rav Malkia. And Visiman and Sidra Papa, a mnemonic to remember this is Masnita Malkasa. The Braisa is the queen. Meaning, because when you have a Tanoic statement like in a Braisa, that could refute a teaching of an Amira. Now Rav Malkiya, whose name is similar to a female version of where Rav Malkiya is more the masculine, he is that like the Malkasa, like the queen, because his name is more the female. That's how you can remember that he, Rav Malki, is the one who explains the Tanoic teachings. So it says the Gemara, my benai, what's the difference, but which one of these six teachings is the difference between Rav Papa and Rav Chanina, where one is saying that these three are his and these three are his, and Rav Papa is saying, wait, the Braises and the Mishnais is Rav Malkia, and the other Amarok teachings are Rav Malkia, what's the difference? The difference between them is the teaching of the maidservants, which is mentioned in Masechtas Ksubas, where Rav Chanina said that's like Rav Malkia, and Rav Papa is saying it's like Rav Malkia. Now, moreover, according to the Rav Papa, Efer Mikla, that of the ashes, which the Rav Chanina had said that was Rav Malkia, he's going to say that though that's from the three of Rav Malkia. Now, the reason for this is because these three teachings of the spit and the ashes and the pores, those are all Shmaitzes. They're not coming to explain Mishnayis. So those are Rav Malkia. But Shvachis, the teaching of the maidservants, that was Rav Malkiya, who said that Allah is like Rav Elazar, who says in the Mishnah that even if she brings in the 100 maidservants, he still can force her to do some work. So to the halacha of Bloiris over here of the pony, it's going to explain a Braisa, which said that Shemir Asiyad, they have to remove the hand. And on that he's coming to explain what's the measurement of that. So to the halacha of the cheese, which you mentioned in the Mishnah later on, that says these are the things that are forbidden from the non-Jews, we say, why are the non-Jewish cheeses forbidden? And Rav Malkiya comes to explain it. So those three are Tanoic teachings which are being explained. Those are of Malkiya. Now Rashi says, although the Gemara says the difference between them is the case of Shvachis, why doesn't it say Shvachis and Efer Mikla? Because as we said, Rav Papa is switching them actually. The reason is because it's coming, the Gemara is only explaining the teaching of Rav Malkiyah, because that's who Rav Papa gave in the mnemonic to remember. It says that, and your simen is Masnita Malkisa. So we say, in Rav Malkiyah, what's the difference between Rav Papa and Rav Chanina? The difference is the case of Shvachet. But yeah, there's another case that's different in all the six, which is that then Eifa Mikl gets switched over from Malkiyah, according to Rav Papa, to Rav Malkiyah. Now, continuing Talmud Beis with the Gemara, continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about regarding what's prohibited between a non-Jew and a Jew. Says the Mishnah, Eilu dvarm shel evdi kechav masurin, these things of a non-Jew, of an idol worshipper, are forbidden. V'isurin isana, and their prohibition is a prohibition of benefit. They are hayayin, the wine. V'achoymit shel evdi kechav mshoymit chlos hayayin, and the vinegar of a non-Jew, which originally was wine, in the possession of the non-Jew, meaning excluding if, let's say, a non-Jew bought vinegar from a Jew, where that would not be prohibited to have benefit from, because the whole reason why these wines or vinegars are forbidden to have an awe is because maybe he used it in his libation for his avodah zarah, for his deity, and a vinegar is not used in their libations. It's just that, although now it's vinegar, but originally he still had it when it was wine, maybe then he used it in that service. And what's also forbidden by anah is v'cheres hadriyani, which the Gemara is going to explain is that these earthenware vessels, when they soak in water, the wine that's absorbed in it comes out. So there's an element of yayin nesach over there in those earthenware vessels, which is asabanah. And va'oris levuvin, which are these hides, the skins of animals, which you see that there's a rip opposite where in the skin where the heart of the animal was. Because that's how they used to do for their idol worship, that they would rip out the heart through a hole in the skin of the animal when it was still alive. So therefore, the whole animal, including the skin, the hide, becomes forbidden because of zivche mesim, like it was used in the worship of an avodah zarah practice. Now, he says, "Bizman shakeres shalei ogel." If the tear in the skin is round, then it's forbidden. But mashach, if it's elongated, meaning it's a different shape, then it's mutter, then it's going to be permitted because they wouldn't do that in that way for the service of their idol. Now the Mishnah continues, Basar hanichnas la'avodas kachavim, regarding meat which is being brought in to where the idol worshiper wants to bring it into his avodah zarah. So that says the Mishnah, mutter, if let's say the Jew is careful to take it from the non-Jew, before he enters in to bring it as a sacrifice to his avodah zarah, so it's going to be permitted to have benefit from that. But v'hayotzei aser, but if he's on his way out from his temple, then it's forbidden to have benefit from it, because obviously he has used it as takruvus, as a sacrifice for his avodah zarah, memneishu kizif chemesim, different has the qualification, like a sacrifice of the dead, which is how the term is used generally for the takrubis of avodah zarah, for their sacrifices and ceremonies that they use for their avodah zarah, that's the Rebbe Akiva. That's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. Continues the Mishnah, Halchin losarfus, the non-Jews who are going to wander after their avodah zarah to a distance, which is known as a pilgrimage, so also losses of losaymon, so it's forbidden to do business with that non-Jew on his way up to that pilgrimage, because if you're going to do business with him, he's going to go and give thanks to his idol when he finally gets there for the good business deal that he did. Moreover, he's going to be buying things which he needs for the desire, for the sacrifices, and you're going to be contributing to that. But v'aboyin mutarin, but if he's on his way back from the pilgrimage, then it's permit. Continues the Mishnah, noydeis ha'evdi kechavim, the leather flasks of a non-Jew, v'kankeim, and their earthenware jugs, and the yain shall Yisrael come to spam, and the Jewish wine is gathered inside, meaning the Jew put his wine inside those non-Jewish flasks or jugs. So asurin, so then the wine is forbidden. The isurin israna, and the prohibition is even the prohibition of having benefit from it. That's the Rebbe Meir. That's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. But Chama, the sages say, no, ain isurin israna. No, the prohibition is not a prohibition of having benefit from that wine. Continues the Mishnah, all related to these themes of yayin nesach. The peel and the pit of the grapes of a non-Jew are asur and are forbidden. The isur and isra no, the remeir, and the prohibition is a prohibition of benefit. That's the opinion of remeir. But chamer, they say, depends. Lachin, if it's moist, which is for a period of 12 months, then asur and then it's forbidden even to have benefit from it. But yevashim mutarim, but if they're all dried out, if after 12 months, then it's going to be permitted. Hamurius, which is the fat of fish, there's a prohibition of even having benefit from it. The reason for that is because we're concerned that the non-Jew mixed in wine. So to v'gvinas beis unyaki shel ebdi kechavim, the cheese of this village, beis unyaki,
of the non-Jews, asurin, that cheese and that fish fat are forbidden, visurin isar no, and the prohibition is a prohibition of having benefit from it. Now, that's in contrast to other cheeses, which are mutabat, as the Gemara is going to explain, but here we're talking about the cheese specifically of besun yaki, of the evdik yichav. That's the remeir, that's the bin remeir. The sages say, in isur nisar no, the prohibition of, is not a prohibition of benefit. One's not allowed to eat it, but no prohibition of benefit. Actually, the Mishnah continues on this theme. It says, "Amr Yehuda, Yehuda says, Shol Reb Yerbishmol Esther Bishua, K'shoyim Mahalchem and Derech Yerbishmol Esther Bishua." When they were on the road, Amalah, he said to him, and he was asking according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that we just quoted, who said the non-Jewish cheese is forbidden to eat, but there's no prohibition of having benefit from it. He says, "Memneima Asru Gavinus Avikham." Why did they say that it's prohibited to eat the non-Jewish cheeses? So Amalei said to him, because although it's from a cow, but they curdle the cheese, the milk of a cow, in the rennet, which is from the stomach of a non-kosher animal, meaning of an animal that died, which wasn't properly slaughtered. And that rennet is from the animal, and that's like a nevela, which is forbidden to eat. And now that's curdling, and that's giving substance, which is part of the cheese, which is being made, which is therefore forbidden. So Amalei, so Reb Shmuel said back to him, but the rennet, which is this milk-like substance in the stomach of the animal, that keva of an oila, of a carbon oila, is more severe than the keva of a nevela. The reason for that is because a carbon oila is forbidden to even have benefit from it, and actually one commits me'ila, he misappropriates from the actual animal itself. Yet, Amru Kayin Shadaita Yafa, they said that a Kayin who is doesn't get so disgusted and very easily. It's a very tolerant type of individual. So a Kayin who is tolerant, Surfachaya, he could swallow the rennet raw. And the reason why the Rishonim say raw is because they didn't have any milchig utensils there in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's saying that he could go ahead and consume the rennet, even if the oila, which everything is forbidden, has to be totally sacrificed in the mizbech. Now, although v'loy haiduloy, although they did not agree to the ones who say that, to say that it's totally initially permitted all the way, 100%, to go ahead and consume the rennet of the korban oila, aval amru, but even so they said, einenen v'loy meilen, although one initially is not allowed to have benefit from it, but there's no meila, which wherever we say that terminology, it means that it's permitted biblically. But the Rabbanan made a gzera, and that's what the words mean, loinenen, rabbinically, you're not allowed to have benefit. But if you have benefit, there is no me'ila that was done. So you see that from the fact that there's no me'ila, obviously that the milk which is gathered in the stomach of the carbon ayla, that rennet, is just like waste matter. It's considered something totally separate, individuated from the animal. So what's the problem about you saying they take the rennet of a nevela and they're maimed the curdling the cheese with that? Who cares? That's not considered part of the nevela animal, just like we see that a carbon oil, which is more severe, meaning than the nevela, which is Isra Hano and there's Isra Me'ila, yet we see that there is no Me'ila, there's no problem with that on the rennet of it, where the kohen could go ahead and drink that rennet. So what's the problem about if they use that rennet of a nevela to curdle the milk to make cheese? So rather, Amalai, Sir Bishu gave him a different answer. He says, the reason why the non-Jewish cheese is forbidden is because actually they curdle the cheese, the milk, with the rennet of the calves that were used in the worship of their Avodah Zarah. Now by Avodah Zarah, even the waste matter is forbidden because they actually prefer that there's that the animal is very large because it looks like a beautiful sacrifice, as the Gemara says in the Flamed Dalma Beis. So even whatever is inside of it, even waste matter, and for sure the rennet, is considered as part of the Takrubas of Bidazah, which is forbidden. And since they use that to curdle their milk to make the cheese, that makes their cheese forbidden. That Amalai, Rabbi Shmuel said back to him, Imkain, if that's the case, Lomala Asru Ba'na, then why did Chacham say, not like Remeir, that it's only forbidden to eat, but not forbidden to have benefit from it? But why is it not forbidden? Why it should be forbidden to have benefit from it? Because it's takrubas avodah zarah, which is, everyone agrees, it's not just asa b'achil, it's asa b'ana. And here they're saying the cheese is, you could have benefit from it, you just can't eat it. So says the Mishnah, hisi'il adava achar. Yerbishua distracted him to something else. He didn't want to reveal to him the real reason, as the Gemara will explain why. So he distracted him, and Amalei said to him something else. He said, Yishmol, hey chatakar, how do you pronounce this pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Kitayvim deidecha meyoin, because your friendship is better than wine, in the masculine. Oy, or do you read it kitayvim deidayich, because your friendship, meaning in the feminine. And the way one would read the pasuk then would be that this is what the Jewish people are saying, because Shir Hashem talks about the love relationship between Kala Yisrael and Hashem. The Jewish people would be saying, Hashem should kiss me the kisses of his mouth, because he told me, Tovim doidayich miyayin, because your friendship is better than wine. But it's talking about what Hashem said about the Jewish people, versus the masculine would be what the Jewish people are saying about Hashem. So Amalai, so Bishmal said to him, I read the pasuk, ki tovim doidayich. In the feminine. On that Amalai, Rabbi Shua said to him, Ein adabakein, that's not the correct pronunciation. Shari chaveri malamalav, because the other pasuk near it proves that it should be read in the masculine, that it's the Jewish people who are saying in front of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, as the next pasuk says, L'reach shemanecha tevim, for the fragrance of your oil is good, and we see shemanecha is in the masculine. And so too, the pasuk that says there, alemes ahavucha, that the maidens love you, that wouldn't be appropriate on the female. It must be tomat regarding him, the masculine, which is the Jewish people, the female, so to speak, to Hashem, who's the male, and therefore that's how you read it. Now the Gemara asks regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, which many of the halachas are based on, yayin menalim, from where do we know that it's forbidden to even have benefit from a non-Jew's wine? So Amar Rabba Bar Avuhu, he says, because Amakra, the pasuk says in the Varm, Asher Chelev Zevachema Yechelu, because that the fats of their sacrifices they should eat, Yishtu Yein Nesichem, they drink the wine of their libations. So we see a comparison between a carbon and wine libations. So Ma Zevachas Bano, just like their sacrifices are forbidden to have Bano, Af Yain Amios Bano, so to their wine, which they use as libations for their Avodah Zarah, is also forbidden to have benefit from it. So the Gemara says, Zevach Kufi Minon. How do we know that there are sacrifices, which they sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah, is forbidden to have benefit, which in our Mishnah we're talking about the actual wine which was used in the sacrifice of Avodah Zarah. Then there's something called Stam Yenim, which we don't know specifically, but if we would assume that possibly they use a B'yayin Nesach. But here we're talking about the wine that's used in their sacrifices. So how do we know it's forbidden? Because the pasuk compares it to their actual carbon sacrifices. So that says, the Gemara says, Zevach Kufi Minon. How do we know their actual animal sacrifices to their Avodah Zarah become forbidden from benefit? Says the Gemara, that's true, because like the pasuk says in Tehillim, says Vayitzamdu lebalpar, that they attach themselves to the Avodah Zarah balpar, Vayeichlu zivchemesim, and they ate the sacrifices of the dead, which we see that we're calling the takrubis Avodah Zarah, the sacrifice to the deity, as a sacrifice to the dead. So we make a comparison, mamis asbana, just like a dead person is forbidden to have benefit. So too, the sacrifices of Avodah Zarah, that's what's called Zivchei Mesim, is also forbidden to have benefit. So says the Gemara, Meis Guvminal, how do you know a dead person is forbidden to have benefit? Says the Gemara, Asi Shavim Shav Me'eglar Ruf, we have Gzer Shav from the word there, from regarding the dead, and from the decapitated calf, the Eglar Ruf, which is when they find a dead person, they don't know who killed them, that the Eglar Ruf is forbidden to have benefit, so too over here, because Ksivacha says over here, Bamidbar, Vatamash Shav Miriam, that Miriam died over there. So it says regarding death, Sham. Ksiv Hasim says over there in Devarim, Va'ofru Sham Esa Egla Banachal, that they decapitate the calf there in the valley. Malal, just like over there, Asibano, the Egla Ruf is forbidden to have benefit from it. Afkan, Nami Asibano, so to over here, it's forbidden to have benefit from it. And continues the Gemara, Va'hasim, how do we know over there, by Egla Ruf, it's forbidden to have benefit from the decapitated calf? Amid Rebbianai, they said in Yeshiv Rebbianai, because Kaparik Sibba, it says regarding the Egla Rufa, in the passing in Devarim Chaval, Kapar Lamchi Yisrael, it says the terminology of atonement. So therefore, if it's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it, ki kachem, like kachem, which is what brings atonement, and we know karbanos are forbidden to have benefit, so too is egla rufa, and therefore, by extension, so too the dead, and so too their karbanos, which are called zivchei mesim, and so too their wine, which is compared to their zivachim. And that's how we know the halacha of Mishnah, that the yayin of nesach, of the kechavim, it's forbidden to have benefit from it. Now the Mishnah continues, it says, this also extends to the vinegar of the non-Jew, which initially was wine, it just soured and turned into vinegar. So the Gemara says, Pshita, this halacha is obvious. Mishum de achmetz pakele yisur, you think because it became vinegar, so then the prohibition of the takruvas of a desire that it has in it, that got removed, what would have taken it out of that status? It already became asabana when it was still in its wine stage. So Ravashi says, you're right. The actual halacha is not necessary. Ha'as lashmina, what is coming to teach us, is the inferred halacha. Chaymet shalanu, our vinegar, meaning that of a Jew, which was deposited b'yat oivet kechavim by the non-Jew, what it's teaching us is, ain't sarah chesim etei chesim, it does not need a seal within a seal, rather it's enough to just put it in one seal, so that to make sure he's not tampering, it's enough with one seal, because since the Mishnah told us that they don't use vinegar in their nesachim, in their libations. And we're saying the whole concern is because it initially was wine. So that teaches us by inference the following halacha. What would be the concern of putting the vinegar of a Jew by a non-Jew? If we're concerned that he might use it for his idol's libations, lemanaschi, like we said, the inference is they don't use it for their libations. And if it's because he's going to switch it for his own personal needs, where he's going to switch it with a worse quality vinegar, and then he might give the Jew a non-kosher vinegar, but that's what we say, since there's one seal, so he's not going to go through the effort and make the forgery and to undo the Jewish seal, and then to make a whole new seal to the forgery. He might. But that's what we're saying, since it's not for avodah zarah, because they don't use vinegar, so one seal is going to be enough. Similarly, another halacha, Amr Belai, says, Shanina, we learned, yain mevushal shel evdei kechavim, shahi mitchlasa yain. The cooked wine of a non-Jew, which initially was regular wine, which sounds like that it was originally raw wine by the non-Jew, and then he cooked it. So usher, that's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it because of its initial stage before it was cooked. So it's Gemara Peshitta, obviously. B'shem di'ivshal pakele yisur, what, because it was got cooked, you think that would remove it from its isra of hana? So Amravashi says, no, ha'aslash min, what it's coming to teach is the inference, that the reason is because the non-Jew cooked it. But if, let's say, the Jew cooked it when it was still permissible wine, then it's not going to ever become asabana anymore. And that's what it's teaching us, because the non-Jew does not use for his libations yayin mevushal, cooked wine. Therefore, as follows, yayin mevushal shalonu b'yad ebti kechavim, if we put our cooked wine by the non-Jew, ain't tzar chesim etay chesim, you don't need a seal within a seal. It's enough with one seal. Why? If we're concerned that he might use it to use for his avodah zarah le'manaschi, they don't use yayin mevushal for their libations. And if it's because if you continue to have lamed alf ichlufe, he just might switch it for drinking. He likes your wine better than his, and he's going to put a non-kosher wine. That's what we said. For that, for his own individual purposes, kiven nikah chesim echad, since there's one seal, leitarach mezayv, he's not going to go through the effort and make the forgery. It's enough with one seal. That's the inference that we learn out from these halachas.